Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Connect with the Matt and Ramona Showcast via Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at 1079thelink.com.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Hey, everybody. Love you joining the podcast. Love it, love it, love it. Numbers good. Keep sharing. Keep telling people about it. Keep rating and downloading and subscribing and all that stuff. And we will be very grateful. Coming up on the show, we've got an interview with Sam Fisher. It was a cool interview. Cool dude. You can catch him on TikTok. The song, City. It's got like a billion TikToks or something like that.
It's crazy.
We'll talk to Sam Fisher. We'll talk more about the Free Britney thing and the Justin Timberlake apology that followed. And we also talk about how the quarantine and COVID lockdown has caused people to discover something interesting about their mate that you thought maybe they would have known, but they don't necessarily know. But we begin with the fact that Ramona's bunion is not the only star of from the knee down for her.
Wow.
Star from the knee down. How many people are stars from the knee down?
Take what you can get. I'd like that.
We don't have anything from the knee down interest. Oh, yeah, you have fatty calves too, Manny. But
yeah, I don't know. What looks to pay to see those.
Yeah, that's
I don't get any offers on Facebook.
You would if you were stranded on a desert island.
Maybe you should show off your calves more.
Well, maybe I will. I'm going to start a fans only.
I always imagine his calves are like the Renaissance Festival, big chicken thingy.
They are. Turkey leg.
Emu leg.
Yeah, turkey leg. It's a turkey leg. It's an emu leg, whatever it is. Yes. That's always reminds me of Bandy whenever I see it.
Yeah.
Stranded on an island, I'm going right for that.
You're not wrong.
But your calves
are. I thought he's your friend. If you're ever stranded on an island, the first thing you're going for is Bandy's meaty calves.
Yeah, even if there is food, he's going to get the coconuts and right to my calves.
He's not going to try to fish or anything.
Start eating people.
In fact, while Bandy's fishing, I'm going to be eating
Why
calves.
Matt would never make it on Survivor. Immediately, he's eating the other contestants.
Yes, well, they didn't say it was against the law or rules. But your calves, Ramona, are admired for a good way.
Not really, because my calves are freakishly large. The emphasis on freakishly.
Not in a bad way. You make that sound bad. That is not bad.
So I had posted a picture from a photo shoot I did at Diamonds Direct. And the first commenter was a gentleman who likes me for my bunions. Guy by the name of Bunion Steve, who wanted to know if the shoes I wore were comfortable for my bunions. Then the next comment was on my freakishly large calves. And then I said, oh, well, maybe there we go. I can have an OnlyFans just for my calves.
Yes. And
next thing you know, I get an offer from someone who wants to represent my freakishly large calves and manage my OnlyFans account for them.
So I'll do it for half the percentage points. Yes.
Are you doing it? Are you considering it?
The sad part is that you think that you can make money off of me and my freakishly large calves. Okay.
Why wouldn't you even try? Why would you not even try?
Yeah. There's stranger things that people have made money off of.
Yes.
Because I don't want to make money as a freak.
Okay? What? You don't have to show any nudity or anything. You don't have to show nudity or talk dirty or anything.
It's just showing your calves.
But the day someone asked me to like pour some chocolate syrup down my calves.
You can say no.
Or say Hershey's or Smucker's.
Doesn't it matter how that makes me feel? You know what I mean?
No.
Doesn't it matter?
You're a powerful adult woman.
Like, you have a scar. That you hate Matt Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I can make money off it, I'm in.
Yeah.
We might be coming up with some rough times soon, so we could all do some
I mean, none of us are. I'll show whatever I need.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I just want to be that girl who is, you know, someone says, wow, you're so beautiful. Like, you're one of the women who could fold laundry on OnlyFans and make a ton of money.
That's what you'd be doing, maybe. You could be doing that.
They're working their way up. You can't
fold laundry with your calves.
They're working their way up from your bunions to your calves. Next will be thighs and butt. And,
man, those knobby knees, girl.
Yeah.
Woo!
Actually, they'll get up there.
Those thighs, I'll pay for that.
I mean, just think. I mean, I really don't see why you change your name, wear a mask or something if you'd like, and
you've thought this through, and I find that disturbing. Yeah.
No, I've thought it through. I'm like, how my brother and I were just talking about the other day. Like, how do we get in on this somehow?
Yeah. But, I've been trying to figure out where to put Gorilla Glue so I can get a GoFundMe going.
Yes, exactly. Where can I put Gorilla Glue?
How sad is this?
Well, I'm a very hairy man.
Talk about doing some strange for some change.
Saying things out loud you can't say on the radio. You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, Sam.
What's good,
Sam
guys?
Fisher, everybody. Howdy, howdy.
What's going on?
We were just talking about how amazing TikTok has been for new artists. And frankly, even though I work in radio, don't tell my boss, but I get introduced to all the new music on TikTok. That's where I find all my new favorite artists.
That's what it is right now. I mean, look, I have the reason that I get to talk to you guys is because of TikTok. And
that is so crazy. Can we talk? Do you mind if we talk about that?
We can talk about that. I mean,
because it, I find it, because, you know, back in the day, it was, I remember, you know, Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift coming up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And now, you know, YouTube is really crowded, and yeah, YouTube is giving you love, but TikTok blew you up, sir.
How that happened, love it.
I mean, YouTube has been so kind to me. But yeah, TikTok has, you know, when I first learned that this city was going viral on TikTok, I had no idea what TikTok was. And I think most of the world was still really new to it because it happened in like March of 2019.
So you're trying to tell me, and we are talking to Sam Fisher, who is a superstar on TikTok, like an absolute superstar. You're trying to tell me that you didn't go to TikTok, create an account, and have the intention of blowing your music up? It happened without your knowledge?
I know. The audacity of the public. How dare they? I know. I got an Instagram DM from someone who was on TikTok, and it was a link to a TikTok video. And it was just like, hey, man, like, I think this is your song. Just letting you know, it's like super viral on this app called TikTok right now. And I was like, what is this? And on the YouTube, I'd seen on the YouTube audio video of this city, people like, here from TikTok. And I was like, still, what is TikTok? So I downloaded the app and I went and I saw it, and it was like a bootleg link. Like, it wasn't the official audio at all. It was a ripped link, and there were like 300,000 videos made to the song. Wow. And mind you, the song had been out in the world for like a year and a half. So this was totally a huge surprise to me. No one had any idea how to capitalize on it, but we ended up, you know, things happened. And I'm really, really grateful for everyone who's made a video to one of my songs. And now
people. That's a lot of thank you notes, a billion thank you notes.
You know, it's wild. When my team was like, hey, just letting you know, this city has been viewed a billion times on TikTok. I was like, don't tell me that. My head's big enough already. Like, don't do that to me. But yeah, I'm grateful for it. And I mean, what other people say with Demi has been out for a week, and I think there are something like 38,000 videos made. It's just, I'm very, very lucky. I don't have the secret sauce for anyone who wants to know. I don't know why it happens. It keeps happening, but I'm grateful for it. I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to let it happen. And here we go.
Yeah, I'm just a super talented songwriter who happened to blow up on TikTok, who's now working with Demi Lovato and changing lives with a song that helps us to love ourselves no matter what people say. No big deal. No big deal.
Look, I don't go into writing songs with the intention of it really doing anything. It's more like I'm feeling a certain way. I feel alone in my feelings and I need to get this out. I'm not very good at talking it out. I'm getting better with it with my therapist. Bless him.
I know the feeling.
You know, and this is it's my outlet. And when I write the song, it's for me and no one else. And when it's released to the world, I don't feel like it's mine anymore. It's everyone else's. And it's so amazing to see people put themselves in the song. And it's been the beauty of it.
How did you know that this one was going to be a duet? And how did the duet with Demi Lovato come about?
The writing session was originally for another artist, but that artist didn't turn up. So thankfully, hindsight 2020 now, but I'm, you know, we wrote the song right before anything had happened with this city. And I was kind of in a weird place thinking, I don't know if anything's ever going to happen for me. So we wrote the song. Shortly after we wrote it, it was sent to Demi. Demi heard it, immediately connected with it. And I think she had been trying to tell this side of her story for a long time and just hadn't found the words yet. And when I heard her vocal on it, it made sense. And it was as if the song was always supposed to be a duet and just a conversation, just an honest confession type conversation where it's like, you know what, like life has not really turned out the way that I thought it would when I was younger. And for me, I don't feel like for a long time, I didn't feel like I'd lived up to the expectations of me. And yeah, I don't know. It feels like a bit of fate. As I said, I don't really think I had any business being on a song with superstar icon Demi Lovato, but she is such a joy to work with and such a real human. And I think that's the beauty of this song, is there's so much humanity in it. And I think that's why people are connecting with it, because it gives them a safe place to feel their own feelings. So I don't know, the power of music.
People that don't know you, I think what's important thing to see is, because it sounds like if you just know that the city blew up and this and that, I mean, you went through some times there where, you know, you're sleeping on people's couches and just, you weren't sure it was going to happen for you. Right. I mean, for those people who think that it was just, hey, this guy, he came out, went to LA, bing, bang, boom, he's famous. It really wasn't that story. Right.
Oh, first of all, thank you for calling me famous. It was work. It was tough. It was a lot of hard work. I feel like so many people have that story. I know Lizzo went through similar really rough times and thinking, how long is this going to take? Will it ever happen? And, you know, I've been signed, I've been dropped. I was lying to my mom, telling her I was killing it just so she wouldn't worry.
Aww.
Yeah. I was a delivery boy for a Australian meat pie shop in LA just to make some money. And I have to say, I am really, really proud of myself for getting through it.
You should.
I didn't expect this to be life right now. But everyone, I mean, the fans make it possible. And there's so much that happened over the last 6 years, that when I look back on, I kind of go, how to get through that. But I'm grateful to be here and I'm excited to be sharing more of my story. And I'm excited to just have a opportunity and a platform to do that.
You know, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this song because of the times we're in, because we have a generation of young people who are craving the likes.
Yeah.
And if you try to live up to the likes, if you try to live up to some ridiculous expectation that's primarily in your own brain, based upon some followers who you don't even know, it's going to be really hard for you out here. And this song truly speaks to it. And it speaks to everybody who's ever put a filter on their face. I mean, it's just an amazing song. And you and Demi Lovato, you absolutely kill it, Sam.
Thank you. That really means so much. I hope that people find themselves in the song and understand that there are people out there who feel the same as they do. And I think, I don't know, I felt so alone when I was writing this song. And I don't know, it's kind of made me realize that if when I feel alone in a feeling, maybe there are millions of people around the world who also feel alone in their feelings. And so maybe this can help. And that's all I'm trying to do. I think I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate to be able to do this and to now be surrounded by just some incredible people who really support me. And, you know, they bring me back down to earth when I need to be back. But it's just, there's good energy right now. And I'm just grateful to be doing this and to be helping. And Demi Lovato is changing my life, and I never thought I would get to say that. So
there's two quick people I want to ask you about before we let you go, because I know you got to go. One is Louis Capaldi, who I had the pleasure of interviewing. That guy is so funny. That it just cracks me up, and I'm sure he does you too. And also I want to ask about your wife, who is very silly on your TikToks as well. So those, I have a feeling that those kind of sense of humor, they seem very similar in their sense of humor. And is that true?
Of course. Yeah. My wife is a clown. I love her. She's my best friend. We have a good time. If anything, pandemic has brought us even closer.
Wow.
We have fun here. And Lewis is an old mate from years ago. We knew each other before anything had happened for either of us. And he had no business asking me to come on tour with him. But I was at the gym on the treadmill, and I get this message from him, and he's like, "All right, mate, you want to come around the US?" And that really kickstarted things for me. But you know what's crazy is I had just come off stage at Irving Plaza in New York City after opening for Lewis. And I got the text from my producer, and it was the first cut of Demi's vocal on What Other People Say. And there's just so many dominoes that have to fall in place for everything to happen. And I'm just lucky that it's happened the way it has. And Lewis has been my biggest champion from the start, and I'm so grateful for him. Yeah, it's crazy. My wife and I, we got married June 1st, and June 2nd, we flew out for tour. She sings backgrounds for me. So Lewis is in amongst it at all times.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Sam Fisher and Demi Lovato's song is there for it. We're going to be playing here in just a couple of seconds. What Other People Say, make sure you check it out. Check him out on TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, Sam.
It's Reality Radio on your schedule.
Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Let's talk a bit about Free Britney, the New York Times Free Britney doc on television. You can check it out. It's out there and on demand and all that. It goes through the whole story of when she was young and only 16, I think, when Hit Me Baby One More Time came out. She's now 39. And it was weird when you look at it in retrospect, a lot of things like the fact that she was 16 doing Baby Hit Me One More Time, and the fact that she was grilled by people. They even show she won, what was the Ed McMahon thing? Star Search.
Star Search.
Star Search. And Ed McMahon goes, "Do you have a boyfriend?" was the question that he asked of her, which, you know, in retrospect, like somebody asking that, but it was something that you did to cute little things, but it was wrong, right? Because he didn't ask the boy that question. Do you have a girlfriend? Right.
Well, sometimes interviewers do, like on those Kids Say the Darndest Things kind of shows, ask little boys if they have a girlfriend and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So they go through that. And then there's people like interviewing her and asking about her breast. And there's the interview with Diane Sawyer. But this is after Justin Timberlake releases his video, Cry Me a River, where he uses a lookalike Britney in it. The implication is that Britney
cheated on
broke
him
up with cheated or broke up with him or something like that. And in this FX series, they show you some of the Britney Spears interview, and then more of it came out after that. But she was it was crazy how she handled it. Her line of questioning, she went in to say, like, "What did you do to Justin? You must have done something really wrong to him," or whatever, which was very odd, right? To be like, mm-hmm. to put her out as, it wasn't like what happened. It was like, what did you do to her?
Yeah, why are you blaming Britney?
Was it? Yeah. So, and she gets into, she talks about the singer's provocative image, and she shows several magazine covers and images, and Diane Sawyer says, what happened to your clothes? And Britney says, I have clothes on now. And Diane goes, no kidding. What's it about? Is it about shocking people? She says she feels comfortable in her own skin and likes to express herself and all that. She's 22 at the time. And Diane Sawyer then mentions that this wife of the governor of Maryland, I think, mm-hmm. had said she'd like to shoot Britney. And Britney goes, you know, what? She said that's awful or whatever. And Diane Sawyer says something along the lines of, well, you have to understand that, you know, you're sending a bad signal to her kids. I mean, like who like almost justifying
like that justifies right. murder.
Right. Yes. That justifies her wanting to shoot her. And the thing about it that I find so sad is that from the very beginning, from the first Britney Spears as a solo artist video we saw, she was sexualized by this industry at 16. That yeah, she wasn't yeah, the one yeah. calling the shots on her career.
No, she had a
momager. There was a whole Disney machine behind her that propelled her to that point. Then you get this young woman who's not calling
it. She left Disney before she did the Hit Me Baby One More Time and all that.
But what I'm saying is she had a team of people who were propelling her from Disney forward. And this image was crafted for her. And even if Britney said, hey, I want to be sexy, which frankly, a lot of 16-year-old girls say, there were parents there, one of whom is still guiding her career to this day, who could have said, no, we don't want that for our daughter. Yeah. We don't
want
this for you.
That's the important thing to point out. This dude who's in charge now, Jamie, was nowhere to be seen.
Wasn't it?
In her career. Nowhere to be seen. Like the managers back then were like, we never saw the record label people. We've never met him. Never saw him. The one person says, I met him once. And all he said was, Britney's going to be able to buy me a big boat, which is really weird that he was in no involvement to all of a sudden. Now he's conservator, which is weird.
Right.
Right.
So what I have to say is a 16-year-old doesn't tell adults what to do.
No, of course not. Right. I mean, she and you see it. And then you see when she starts to lose her, you know, whatever you want to lose the reality of the situation or something. And funny thing is, I remember it so clearly. They cover the thing or remember where Britney walked into the like the mini market barefoot into the bathroom. Remember that?
Yeah.
Isn't like, that weird how that sticks out to you?
Because it really wasn't. Well, there were so many jarring images. There was the public bathroom barefoot. There was Britney Spears with a half shaved head. There was Britney with a half shaved head going after the paparazzi with an umbrella. There was Britney Spears driving with her kid in her lap. I mean, these images are still so clear because Britney became a punchline for messy.
Yeah, it was a weird time. Like the timing of everything was just wrong for her too. In the sense, I don't know if it would have been covered the same way today. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have. The peak of the TMZ was right there, and mental illness was not a thing that was talked about. Like TMZ was just massive back then.
They were just starting out. Yeah,
and everybody happened to be happening at the same time.
And they were ambushing
Paris
people.
Yep. And she hung out with Lindsay Lohan.
TMZ took over with video where the National Enquirer stopped with print.
And the amount of money they were able to get for the pictures they talk about in there, it's insane. She has to be one guy who's a paparazzi guy. Is like, she never asked us. She gave us information. She had fun with us. Never asked us to go away. But then they show a video of her saying, "You guys just leave me alone." So she does all that stuff, and they're like you said, a public joke. So in retrospect, I'm sure we were guilty probably at some point. We talked to Us Weekly and stuff. But the light showed like a Jay Leno nice guy doing it.
I'm glad you said that about us because there is some personal responsibility that I feel because when we talked to Us Weekly, when we talked about Britney Spears, there was a word that the Us Weekly reporter used for her that I still remember. And that was trash-tastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whenever we talked about Britney, You talked about how trash-tastic these things were. You can take the girl out of Louisiana, but you can't take Louisiana out of the girl.
Right, that kind of stuff. Yes. Little did we know that it was, I mean, maybe we knew, we didn't think about it, that there was this actual mental illness type thing that was going on. Craig Ferguson, to his credit, remember he was a late show person. He's the only late show comic who did his whole monologue, was like 2.5 minutes or something, of saying, we've got to leave her alone. She's got issues. She's got problems. I will not joke about her on this show. And it was crazy. In retrospect, you look at that, and that was
He was woke.
At the point where she went after the paparazzi with an umbrella, that's when I realized that this young woman was becoming unglued. It wasn't just a girl being herself, like, hey, I'm barefoot all the time, I don't care. The picture became much clearer then that we were dealing with a young woman who was not well.
So we fast forward, and Jamie Spears, the father, who was not involved at all in her life, really, as far as her career goes, takes over conservatorship. And then eventually, like the latest is, let's go to that, that Jamie was ruled that he is a co-conservator over the estate, but he has not removed Jamie, which Brittany says she wants him removed, and she will not perform until he is removed.
Allegedly, she's afraid of this man.
Yeah. This has been going on since 2008 is when he took control over her financial and personal decisions. The company Bessemer Trust is a co-conservator now, and the judge did not order any substantial changes. There will be another hearing coming up in March, March 17th or something like that, where they will go further and try to see if they can get Jamie removed. But we're still not seeing, there's a guy on there whose name is Adam Streisand, who was going to represent Brittany, but then the court wouldn't let him or something. I don't know what happened there, but he said, as far as he knows, with her talking to her, she seemed perfectly fine. But he added that there's parts of the document that are still sealed that we don't know about, that the judges haven't overruled for whatever reason. Now, Brittany says she wants those released. I don't know. Lance Bass has come out a few weeks ago, and other people.
What did he say?
He's like, you know, just in support of her, and said that it was all bull crap, that she should be free, basically.
Well, she's almost 40 years old. Yeah. She should be able to handle her own money, her own estate, her own finances. I don't get it. I don't
know. Maybe part there's of something me, part, in there. I don't know.
There might be something, and we'll probably never know the whole story, and each and every person involved has their own take on it. But the bottom line is, whether you are ill or well, you know, there's a part of looking out for someone's best interest that has to be completely selfless, completely selfless. And I don't know if there's a single person in her orbit who is approaching this from a selfless standpoint.
That's what the one judge said at the end of the documentary, was like, I don't even know how to rule, because obviously a lawyer that's defending or wants Brittany free is being paid by Brittany.
Right.
And then the other side, so everybody's got, everybody in this courtroom is making money off her. I've got to think about this or whatever they said. And then we'll move real quickly to let you rant on Justin Timberlake, who, when he was 20 or 21, went on a radio show and said that he took Brittany's virginity. He has finally, and I say finally, because Ramona will tell you she thinks it's late. Let's see what his words were. The apology for missteps was the quote. I'm deeply sorry for the times in my life where my actions contributed to the problem, where I spoke out of turn or did not speak up for what was right. Talks about the system that condones misogyny and racism. So you're saying
he ruined
too late
Janet Jackson, and he ruined Britney Spears. Okay. He ruined their careers, basically. Yeah. And it seems very odd that now we're hearing an apology right after bleep Justin Timberlake starts trending on Twitter as it relates to Britney. So the apology sounds really empty and really late to me. Although he didn't hurt me, but he definitely left Janet Jackson out to dry, and he did the same to Britney Spears. So for me, in my life, apologies have two steps. One, actually saying the words, I'm sorry. This is what I did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you blame a system that you profited from. It's not about the system. It's about what you did. It's not about what the industry did. It's about what you did. So, hey, I'm a part of this system. I don't want to hear about the system. I want to hear about you, Justin. The second part of the apology comes with making amends. How do you make up for the hurt that you caused to these women, both emotionally and financially? Okay, so emotionally, you're doing your part by publicly apologizing, but financially, you have also hurt both of these women. Janet Jackson's career never recovered from the Super Bowl, where he left her out to dry. Like, Janet, I had no idea. Whatever, Justin, you were a part of it. You left her out to dry. Yes. You totally did that. And then you did the same to Britney Spears, setting people up to believe that she was a cheater, that she somehow did you wrong in the relationship so that you could look better and sell more records. You profited off of that and caused her pain. So what are you doing with your money? The money you made after the Super Bowl, the money you made off of Cry Me a River. That's what's called making amends, Justin. And until I see that, I really don't want to hear your apology. If I'm Britney or Janet or Ramona.
Yeah. I wonder if Britney's worth more than him, you think? With the Vegas show?
Probably.
And I don't know. Janet, she also does incredibly well with her fragrances.
Yeah.
She's got an empire.
All right. So there's that.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
One of the other things we wanted to talk about, which was kind of not surprising to us because we've talked to people who realize this over the COVID quarantine, which is what their spouse actually does for a living. And 77% of people said they now know what their partner does for a living. That is a big number.
Wow.
Now, I understand that, like, I know a lot of people, you talk to them, especially if their spouse was in something like, let's say, something that, like, a lot of people would say, like, he does something with computers or she does something with financial stuff or whatever, you know, it was like that. So maybe they now have a clearer picture of what it was that they do because you hear them working
right
when they're home.
And it's funny that you bring this up. I was talking with a friend about this whose husband does something with computers. And we joke about him all the time as, you know, a lovable oaf. You know, he's kind of goofy. That's his sense of humor. He can never find anything around the house. He's kind of like Madman. But my friend, for the first time, has a window to his technical world. And she hears him with his coworkers, like spouting out numbers and solving problems and sounding really authoritative. And she's like, man, that's kind of sexy. Like, I never knew how much power he had, how smart he was, and how sought after his knowledge was. Like, whoa, this guy. All right.
See, my friend was the opposite.
For you later.
My friend was the opposite. His wife was like, I can't believe what a jerk you are on the phone to people. Like, he's like, why do you got to push these people? You got to push these salespeople. They know how I am. I'm just blunt. It's not like, wow. And she's like, you talk all the time. You talk all day. She did realize that probably is exhausting because he's constantly on a meeting from like 9 to 6 or something, constantly talking. And she was like, wow, that would be. So she did get that before when you say like, yeah, I got to go to this meeting, that meeting. You know, you're going to meetings, you know.
Whoop-dee-dee.
Literally know that it was,
so hard to go sit.
And well, one of the things that is different too, and I think Vandy said he relates to this one, the biggest partner irritants during the COVID, number one was playing loud music or watching TV during work hours. The other person, whoever's not working, doing that. Number two is spending too much time in the bathroom, which is weird. But here's the one I was going to go, eating lunch too loudly was also on there, nitpicking, but having an annoying work phone voice. 20% of people said that their mate has like a different voice when they're working.
Yes. Yeah,
it becomes annoying.
My wife's noticed that she hears me in meetings and stuff, and she's like, "You sound like Bandy. You don't sound like Brent." I'm like, "Well, what are you? That's my professional voice."
Well,
my professional voice.
You also overlaugh when you're with bosses.
Yes, and I blurt and say weird things loudly, and she hears weird things coming out of the basement all the time. So
coming out of the basement,
yeah, which is where I am.
Ramona has a different voice on the phone.
Yes. I'm
scrubbing in the shower.
Hello.
That is not my voice on the phone.
Hi, this is Ramona.
I sound the same way on the phone as I sound right now.
But I know Bandy's voice. You know Bandy's voice, Ramona, when he's talking to somebody?
Yes.
It is slightly because different.
It's different from on the air, even.
Mm-hmm.
When,
when
we are in a Teams meeting with the boss and he's like, let's talk about Thursday's show.
Yeah.
And even his mannerisms are slightly different.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes, heaven forbid, the boss makes a chuckle.
Yeah.
Then Betty's like, oh. It was like, dude, it was a knock-knock joke. Back off.
I appreciate it, Bandy. Somebody's
got
to do it. All right. Thank you for hanging with us on the podcast. Make sure you share it, rate it. Comment, message us on Facebook, whatever it takes. And they can vote for our podcast, right? What's the deal on that, Ramona?
That's right. Charlotte Magazine has the Bob Awards every year. And right now through the 21st of February, you can vote the Matt Ramona Show, your favorite radio show, and the Matt Ramona Off Air Podcast, your favorite podcast. You can find the link on our Facebook page.